What's up, guys? This is Jason with the Indie Old Game Lover Podcast. I'm coming to you guys for the week of June 3rd through the 10th. Today, we got some news to go over. We're going to talk about some hands-on previews of games, and then we're going to talk about some games I've actually been going through hands-on. And then we will get to the eShop and what's coming out this week. So hold on tight and welcome to episode 2 of the Indie Game Lover Podcast. Our first news article comes today off of predictions for the Pokemon Direct that's coming this Wednesday. Let's see what time it's coming here at 9 a.m. Eastern. So 6 a.m. for me on the West Coast. I will not be up for that. But we're getting a full 15 to 20 minute Direct about this new Pokemon game. And that's kind of interesting because if you think about how E3 is next week, I would have thought for sure that they would have put that into their E3 presentation. But no, we are actually getting this content outside of E3, which makes me wonder what is going to be at the E3 show. We'll get to some predictions in a minute, but let's talk about Pokemon Shield. I'm sure we're going to get a release date for the game. You go to Newsweek and they have an article posted about some of their predictions, but I do agree that we'll probably see a release date for Pokemon Sword and Shield. Hopefully we're going to get some more information about maybe new Pokemon, new monsters that are going to be in this new generation of Pokemon, and hopefully we will see what is going to make this stand out to the traditional 3DS, DS Pokemon games that we've seen over the course of the years. You know, they've pretty much have stayed the same. Of course, there's deeper mechanics, more Pokemon to catch, better graphics, these things, but essentially it's kind of the same kind of story where you're a trainer and you want to be the best in the world. So you go to these different regions, you have to battle the trainers, level up your Pokemon, and sometimes there's cool side stories and drama that happens in these games, but a lot of people are looking for that new, you know, why, what's going to make this the console quote version of Pokemon. And the fact that it's not coming out on 3DS or the DS is way old. The fact that it's not coming to the DS, I think, points at that this is the first actual console Pokemon game that we're getting, and there's high expectations that people have. If it is more of the same and it looks a lot prettier, you know, there's a lot more content and, you know, they try some new things, okay. I know a lot of people were hoping they would bring some of the mechanics from the Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu or Eevee, some of those features, into this new Pokemon title. But right now, it's hard to say that. You know, there's some things that people liked on Let's Go, like the fact that your Pokemon can, you know, follow you on the map, or you can ride them, or they do special things on the map for you, which is really cool feature. And then some people liked, you know, seeing the Pokemon on the screen, not getting into random battles anymore. Stuff like that, people have voiced that they would like those features to kind of cross over to this new Pokemon. We've got a quick look at it a couple months ago. But this direct should really hone in and give us a lot of information. I mean, hopefully. That's the hope, right? You know, with Direct, sometimes you just don't know what you're going to get. But like Mario Maker Direct, That went super deep in just 15 minutes. So people are excited to see what's coming next. So let me know, what are your predictions for the event on Wednesday? We'll have an update on this story next week after all the information gets out. Okay, so this is our first story, Pokemon. So let's talk about some E3 predictions here. We have a story coming from Nintendo Life, and it's been making rounds on the internet that a vast amount of games, I think 20 in all, unannounced games have been added to GameStop's database, with most of them around $60, three at $39.99. $40.99 and $89.99, and one that's $200, $199.99. Obviously, there's probably gonna be some bundle or something like that. And so, yeah, very, very interesting. I mean, what could it be? You know, to have some games at $89, $69, at $60. Basically, $60, $90, and $120. My money is on a Call of Duty. Maybe it's a port, or maybe it's its own exclusive to Switch, maybe. I don't know. Because we know the new Call of Duty has been announced. They haven't announced consoles, but I mean, I'd be super surprised if that was coming to Switch. I don't think it is. But have they made their own Call of Duty games for the Nintendo's platforms before? Yeah, of course they have. They made one on the Vita, which was trash. But here's the thing, is that if they can make it run Call of Duty, you know, multiplayer on iOS and Android, because they're releasing a Battle Royale like Blackout on mobile, and the traditional, you know, multiplayer Call of Duty, there's no reason that they can't make at least the multiplayer like Blackout and the other modes work on, run on the Switch. There's no reason. And the Switch is doing so well, it'd be hard pressed to them not have a market on Nintendo system. So I'm calling it Call of Duty's coming this fall to the Switch. Maybe it'll just be a port. I mean, it'd be cool to have Advanced Warfare 4, you know, the remastered one that just came out a few years ago. Any of that stuff would be a great, great addition to the Switch. To have a Call of Duty with a campaign and traditional multiplayer would be fantastic. So that's what I'm betting on, is at least one, a couple of those titles, because you have that tier of prices. And it's interesting that Nintendo's, you know, done a deep dive on Mario Maker and now Pokemon before E3. They're clearing out space, obviously, for their E3. So what is E3 going to be? Probably Animal Crossing. Probably some sort of few minutes, maybe looking at Luigi's Mansion. And then there's Zelda, right? Those are the three other big titles that we haven't really got a deep dive on. So ideally, in this 45-minute Direct, we'll probably get some hands-on with all of those games and looking at them a little more closely. But again, Zelda, and those games have already been included now inside. Like, those are not unannounced titles. Those are announced titles that we already know are coming. So, unannounced, like I said, I'm calling it at least Call of Duty. Most of these are $60 titles. I don't know. But it's getting closer and closer now to E3, and we will know soon enough of whatever this is. What are your guys' predictions? I'm thinking, like I said, Call of Duty, Maybe the Metroid Prime trilogy, but again, that's been announced, so I don't know. There's so many good stuff coming to Switch, it's just hard to even keep track. I mean, everyone is trying to port their stuff to the Switch, and Switch gamers are just loving it. Yeah, so let's take a look at our next article. And the last big news story today is Nintendo US Road Trip will let you go hands-on with the biggest Switch titles coming this year. So, Nintendo is taking a tour bus around the country to get everyone pumped and stoked on the Nintendo Switch. Now, this is kind of interesting. It's going to be going to different places. There's going to be in Chicago, Wisconsin, Sacramento, Seattle, Bethlehem, Louisville, Syracuse, St. Paul, Albuquerque, Pomona, West Springfield, and Georgia. And this is all rolling out starting the end of the month, June 26th. They'll be in Chicago, Illinois, and they'll wrap up in Perry, Georgia on October 3rd through the 6th. So if you want more info, if you're gonna be there, it'd be cool to see it. I'm up by Seattle, so it'd be fun to check out the event there. Let's see, that's gonna be on July 19th through the 21st, so it's pretty cool. It's a big truck, you see a picture of it and stuff. If you go to nintendolife.com, there you will see the truck and what they're doing. They're gonna have Super Mario Maker 2, Super Smash Bros., of course, Pokemon Let's Go, Mario Kart 8, Overcooked 2, Super Mario Party, and Splatoon 2. And yeah, so they're trying to promote the Switch more. You know, I think their sales have been, on the downtrend. It's been 2.5 years since the Switch originally launched. And they've sold, I think, well over 30 million units. And it still outsells most consoles month to month, at least during the holidays. And even after the holidays, for a couple months, they were outselling the PS4 and Xbox, the Switch. So they're still trying to drum up hype for the Switch. So if you don't have a Switch, what are you waiting for? It is a great console, it's available. So many good games, so much exciting stuff happening around the Switch. There's no reason not to. All right, that wraps up for the news, and now let's go to some hands-on of some games I've been playing. All right, so the first hands-on that I'm doing here is we're going to be looking at Sonic Team Racing. Now, this got just came out about a week or so ago on the eShop, and I have to tell you, there's been rumors that this is just as good as Mario Kart or even better, that some people are saying. Now, I don't know if I'd go that far to say it's better than Mario Kart 8 on the Switch because that is a fantastic game with dozens of courses and characters, etc. So, for my hands-on, I've only got a couple hours into it, mostly in the Team Adventure mode. So, Team Adventure is the story mode, and there's basically each level that you complete, you actually get stars. And there's 142 stars to collect. And as you progress in the story, you have little cut stages, I mean cut stages, cut scenes of characters talking and stuff, and it's pretty lame. quite honestly, the voice acting is pretty bad. But the stars are actually goals for you to do. So, like, example, on the first one, you get a star, finish in the top three places as an individual, finish in first as an individual, and then the third star is win the race as a team. So, team racing. There's a reason why they named it that, and I don't know if I like it. In the sense of, I like kart racing, just you being independent without teams. But in the story mode, it does look like the races are teams. So you're on a team of three, and you can play with other people, or the AI will control the other two racers in your party. But basically, you'll race around a track over a set amount of laps, and they do some interesting things that does make the game stand out from your traditional kart racers. The first thing is the team racing. It's a team effort. So if one of you guys finishes first, your team places first. So that's kind of cool. You don't have to be in the top spot. You can place fifth, but if someone on our team is really good and they win the race, that team wins the race. And hence, that's why there's a star to finish as an individual first. Like, you're the guy that won for your team first place. Or in the top three. So that's one of the big differences between Mario Kart 8 and this Sonic one. And of course, another big cool feature that I've noticed is your items. So in Mario Kart, you get an item, you shoot it, you use the item. On this one, you can do that, or you can actually hit a button to transfer it to another person on your team to use. So let's say, I'm in third place, but my teammate John is in first and he needs a boost of speed. Well, I can give him that power up that I just collected and give it to him, and then he has it to go win and finish the race for us. There's a lot of strategy that's given with that, and other teammates, the AI, can give you items as well. And so it's a cool concept, to be able to give your items to your teammates while you're racing. That's really cool, definitely unique to this game. And I would say the third major thing is that you're working together as a team. So whoever is in first place of your team, so out of the three, right, whoever's leading the charge of your team, like a slipstream will come behind them. Now, this is used in other games, but it's like a yellow track. So if you stay in that track, you're going faster and faster and faster, and you can like weave in and out of it to like slingshot yourself around even the guy that's in first place. So it helps give speed to your other teammates, and each team will have that for their first. The person that's leading the race will get that slipstream behind them. And so again, it adds another element of working together to complete races. There's different levels, obviously. There's some where you're racing against the clock. There's other things you can unlock. There's you can mod your car and stuff like that. If you go into local play here, you get a Grand Prix, so this is more like your traditional Sonic racer. There's exhibition race, so you could do like a tour, or just a race, time trial, and wireless play with someone locally. There's online multiplayer, and I believe it's eight, I'm not sure, but you can create your own custom lobby. You can join your friends or go into matchmaking to find a race. Let's see. There's quick play, team race, and then just standard. So that's really great. I haven't tried the online yet because I'm such a newbie, but the online seems like it has a robust amount of options. There's also the garage where you can customize your car, how it looks, the different parts of it, and there's a thing called Mod Pods. So you get these tokens and stuff, and so I just unlocked Sonic Spinners for my tires. Bonus box. Start the race with a blue Cup Wisp. So they're like these little balls you get that give you different customizations for your car and stuff that you can do. And you get those points by racing in the team adventure. So overall, it's great. It doesn't have close to as many characters, that you would normally see maybe in a regular kart racing game, or even just compared to, excuse me, to Mario Kart. And it's kind of cool that they allow you to do. It's kind of cool that they allow team and standard play. So it looks like the single player, combines all of these kind of different races. It's not always team, but it is a unique feature of this game. So you can do even single player racing, you do team, or you can not do team and just do a standard race. There's a handful of tracks. Again, content wise, compared to Mario Kart 8, this doesn't really compare. But again, this is only $40. Mario Kart 8 is 60. I still think that Mario Kart is the king of kart racing games, but this is does some very unique things that, Mario Kart doesn't do. So it's worth picking out if you have the extra money. Pick this game up. It's a great game. Check it out for yourself. So the next game we're going to look at is Rem Royale. And this is a battle royale game from Hi-Rez Studios. These are the same guys that brought you Paladins, a hero shooter in the likes of, I guess, Overwatch. I really like Paladins a lot. And I did Smite for a little bit, which is like a MOBA that they created. And now they have created a battle royale game. Now, this has been out on PC and other consoles, I think, for a little while. Definitely has been on PC for a while. But they're bringing it to the Switch. So that's great. And with the Switch version, though, you will have to pay $15 to get into the early beta. So you can try it out. You get early access. You get exclusive cosmetics when you pay the $15. So you're definitely getting your money's worth of content. And then it'll release in a few months for the price of $0. They will have battle passes, which I signed up for. And you might say, well, what's the difference between this versus other battle royale type games, right? So, some of the similarities is that, it's one big map, like in Fortnite. And there's also a bunch of differences. So, you're jumping out of a plane, you're going down, it's the last person, obviously that wins. There's lots of guns and a variety of weapons to kill your opponents with. But some of the differences is one, when you die, you have a chance to be revived because you turn into a chicken. And so you can jump and fly around, like only a couple of feet in the air or whatever. But basically, if you can escape your opponent and not, if it doesn't kill you as a chicken, you get an extended life as a chicken. And if you can survive for that 18 seconds, you're revived with like half health and you can be brought back and keep going. And that's pretty cool because sometimes people at a match were turned to a chicken and I ran away and the guy just didn't pursue me. So I got to get revived and stay in the game and got to like third place. Or there's other times where I had a battle with a guy and he turned me into a chicken. I dodged all of his shots as a chicken, got revived, killed him till he was a chicken, but kept like missing him until he got revived. And then it went back and forth three full times where I turned into a chicken. And then I finally, on the third round, got him. So it was like this epic confrontation with this guy. And finally killed him as a chicken. And, you know, got the kill. So that's a big difference. Whereas I think like Fortnite and stuff, when you die, you're done. You get booted out, you know. So that's a unique gameplay feature. Another thing is when you jump out of the plane or the hot air balloon, bus, whatever it is, and you land, you don't parachute down. Because, you know, it was always a thing that I didn't like about Fortnite, is that it really slows the game down. Like, you jump out of the plane and then you get into a parachute, so it just seems like so much longer, you know, of a drop. Where this, you know, you're just going down full speed to crash into the ground in this cool, like, little explosion, and then you can immediately get on your mount. Everyone has a horse or a mount that they have. They all go the same speed, everything, but you can customize the look of your chicken, your mounts, what your character looks like, etc. So there's a lot of customization options to get. And then, which is cool, because when you're first land and you want to get somewhere quick, like at Fortnite, it kind of drags. You have to run to the next area to find weapons and stuff like that. With this, you just get on your horse and go, like, right away. If there's a lot of guys that land in your spot, just get on your horse and bail out, you know, to another area and get equipped, and then, you know, you can play. So that's a really cool thing. But of course, you can't just always ride it. Like, for instance, if you're getting hit with bullets, then your horse stops and you get booted off your horse and you have to fight that person. If you can dodge the bullets on the horse, you can stay on the horse. But as soon as you get hit, you're off. So you can't just like abuse it to where someone starts shooting at you, you just get on your horse and then you can just always escape a confrontation. No, it doesn't work like that. And then the other cool thing is like the different guns and stuff that you get. You can hit a button to create gems from that weapon, and then you can go to a forge, and every major city on the map has a forge, and in the forge you can craft better gear for yourself, like top tier, you know, armor or guns. But the catch is once you activate it and it starts, there's a timer that counts down depending on what you're crafting, and a beam shoots out on the map to let everybody know that you're trying to get better gear, and so people can use that information to come hunt you down and kill you before you're able to get it, you know. It just adds a lot of cool gameplay aspects like that. And then the actual battle royale, you know, going down to 100 is just a ton of fun. There's lots of quests and things to unlock, and it will be cross-play with PC, Xbox, and Switch people. So you're going to have a lot of players to play with. It's just like, you know, Paladins and Smite. It's cross-play, except for Sony, of course. But you will be able to play against people. And I'm having a blast with it. If you have $15, you get exclusive skins for your chicken, some artwork, that stuff. Oh, I almost forgot. One of the biggest things too is that there's classes. So there's a warrior, hunter, assassin, and mage. And depending on what class you pick, there are different skills you can unlock. So, like for me, I have on my hunter one, that's the one I've been playing at the most, is that you can equip a different perk for each character. So like I could say, you know, I want explosive tips. Now increase the damage of a blast arrow by 300. So I can put that as my ability. Or there's like a restoration healing you passively regenerate 10 health per second. So that's the one I've been having on recently. So every, 10 health per second, so as I'm just moving around, I'm getting healed up slowly, which is really cool. But yeah, the only problem I had with it so far is, like, I didn't know where to customize your characters and stuff. I thought it'd be in the armory, and I remember just go, there's classes, and then there's global, and I didn't even check the global tab, because I thought that was something just completely different, but it's not. You go into global, and then you can choose your chicken skin, what your mount looks like, your avatar when you play, the title you have, people see. There's different skydive effects you can get, there's different loading screens, and different map markers. And then there's different emotes, and I believe there's even different looks for your character. So my star was a hunter, but you can unlock skins to make the hunter look, like something completely different. So it's a ton of fun. I totally recommend Battle Royale to anyone that's interested in it. Check it out. It's on the eShop now. And last and but not least, the indie game of the week that I've been playing with and experimenting. There's actually been two. The first one will go kind of quick, so we'll start with that one. And that's hashtag Kill All Zombies. It's a traditional twin stick shooter, arena shooter. You're in an arena, and the waves of zombies keep coming until you die. So you have to survive as long as you can. I enjoyed certain things about it. Currently, though, I have it deleted off my Switch's memory because I want to take up space for that. But it's entertaining. There's a few different modes. There's local co-op, so you can play with someone and tackle the survival zombie challenge with two people, which is cool. But most of the time I don't have that, a local, like someone else to play with. So there's two modes. There's survival, and then there's like a town survival. So the only difference between the two is that in the town survival, you have a little underground bunker that you're protecting on the arena map. And so when zombies damage that, it damages your health, and once it goes to zero, you die. They got into the bunker, everyone's dead. So you're still trying to survive as long as you can. As your standard weapons, Uzi, shotgun, pistol, stuff like that. It does have some cool perks you unlock as you level up your character and you're killing zombies, which is really cool. And it does some cool things with the arena itself, or they look like hexagons. Like each tile of the map is like a hexagon, and so there'll be times where they will be higher than your character, so you can't progress to the other side of the map, or they'll damage zombies. You can like spread them out like a tidal wave, and they'll rise up and hit zombies and stuff like that. Cars will come falling down from the sky that it will kill you if it lands on you, so you gotta watch out for that. But also if you shoot them, they blow up and they're like bombs you can use to kill multiple zombies at once. Like I said, if you're into twin stick shooters and arena shooters, or was just trying to get your highest score, it's decent, I think it's only like $10, I believe. It might be $15, I'm not sure. But for that kind of price, it's not bad, the two game modes. It was entertaining for a couple hours, but, eventually I only got so far and kept getting only so far, and I just kind of, dropped it. So that's hashtag Kill All Zombies. But what I wanted to talk about that I've been playing more of is called Abzu. So this came out, I think, on the PS4 and even PC, like basically all the consoles, right? it came out on. And dude, this game is so peaceful. The music in it is just incredible, and the vibe that you get from swimming around in the ocean, like the graphics are great. I had my kids around when I was playing it, and you know, they kept going, ooh, and ah, like whenever they would see, you know, me swimming through this underwater environment, it was just the music piece is peaceful, the sound effects, just everything about it is just cool. You're just exploring, you know, and you collect like these seashells. I'm not exactly sure what they do yet, but you know, you collect seashells, and then you also will receive, like I got this robot thing that was swimming next to me, but then a shark ate it. So there is some like surprising moments of action, but for the most part, you're swimming around these peaceful environments, and there's some sort of story. There's no dialogue, there's no text even in the game. But graphically, and just the chill vibe you get playing is so relaxful and peacey, and peaceful. I love playing this like after work. I've had a long day at work. It's great to put on for 30 minutes, even an hour, and just chill and just enjoy the ocean environment and the setting and the swimming. It's a lot of fun. For anyone, I think it's $20, and there is a story. Like there is places you go and you like reactivate. I don't even know how to really describe it, honestly. It's like I came upon this area that looked like a machine, kind of, and then I kind of activated it, and then the ocean life came all back, and you know, it looked all beautiful again and stuff. So I think you're going to different areas to kind of like reset nature. I don't know. I haven't finished it yet. But like I said, if you're looking for something chill, peaceful, and get good vibes from, this is it. You can't do any better than Abzu. So if that's something you're interested in, and like, you know, seeing different fishes and turtles and sharks and different things that you're kind of swimming in underwater, it's really cool and worth it. So check it out if you're interested. Well, that's about it for this episode, but real quick, let's jump onto the eShop and see what's coming out this week. There are several titles. I'm not going to go into each one and what they are. You can look at it yourself, but just to let you know, we got Kotodama, The Seven Mysteries of Fujosawa. Looks like a, you know, a you know, one of those games. Oh my gosh, why am I blanking on this? Like a novel type thing where it's a lot of dialogue, stuff like that. Red Siren Space Defense, Tiny Derby, Purrchang, Time Spinner, Bantam Doctrine, which looks like an XCOM type game that got really good reviews on other consoles and stuff. It looks good. Let me check it out. Man, it's only $12. You can get it for $12. That's pretty good. And it's normally going to be 18, so $6 off is not bad. Hue is coming out. Legend of the Tetericus is coming out on the 6th. And this is another Kemco RPG thing. These things usually come out on like iOS all the time, these different Kemco games. She and a Lightbearer is coming out. World Wheel, the Sushi Spinnery, which is one of those Carosoft games. So if you've been, I used to love these Carosoft games. Like they're the best like sim games. You pick it up on your Switch, which is cool. Slay the Spire, Fat City, Dynabomb, Summer Sport Games, Artifact Adventure Gaiden DX. That's a mouthful. Looks like an RPG kind of thing with 2D graphics. Bullet Battle Evolution. Looks like another multiplayer shooter that's just online. Looks pretty good. $15. Warlocks Godslayers Refunct. And Neon Junctions. Looks pretty good. Pico Park. And Pico Park. Yep. So I guess, oh, and on the 11th is Battle Worlds Kronos, which looks like it's a, oh, from THQ Nordic. It's a, oh, looks like an RTS, fully fledged RTS turn-based strategy game. Wow. Looks good. 1 to 4 players. Doesn't say it's online, but hey, I would look up reviews of it for PC and stuff and see if it's good. But there's a ton of stuff coming, so that's just this week. You know, we got Crash Team Racing coming soon, Bloodstained, Ritual of the Night, and then of course Super Mario Maker 2 at the end of the month, so there's some good stuff coming out. And then July, real quick, July, so much stuff. There's Fire Emblem, Raiden 5 Director's Cut, Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3, Dragon Builders 2. Those are the big heavy hitters coming out in July. Man, July's going to be another crazy month. And that's after E3. We still got 20 unannounced games possibly coming. It's just too much. It's too much. Alright, well that's going to do it for episode 2 of the Indie Game Lover podcast, where we talk about mostly Switch stuff. We look at the news, we look at games that I've been playing, and then we also are going to look at an indie game, at least one indie game a week, and get feedback on that, and look at the eShop. So if you guys are interested, please subscribe to the podcast. I'm going to be trying to get this more consistent and doing it a weekly podcast every Monday. So come in. We might do a special episode just on E3 stuff when after E3 happens on their presentation on June 11th. So yeah, please subscribe, leave feedback, anything else, guys. Hope you have a great week and keep playing your Switch. Thank you.